Sunday night was a special time. God helped us. I hope He strengthened people in this room with other the things that was mentioned, and how that God can take one service and turn people's lives around. Sunday morning, I preached a message on when Jesus comes to town. And Sunday night, I didn't get to preach what I had brought to preach, but I knew Sunday night before I left that I still needed to preach it. So Roger worked me hard all day today, putting up vinyl on my building at the house. And Sherry wondered what I was going to preach tonight. And then I went in to eat supper and get ready. And she said, "I've wondered about you all day long." And I said, "Well, thank you," about how I was going to do the service tonight. It's not about me anyway. But I knew Sunday night when I left here what God had already laid on my heart to do here today. So in John chapter number 5, I want to read a very familiar portion of Scripture. I think I might have given you this, Kathy. I'm not sure. Title of the message tonight is when your troubles turn around. When your troubles turn around. I just wonder, as we start into this message this evening and before we pray and move forward, is anybody in the building willing to admit you've had a few troubles in your days? You've had a few ups and downs in your days, and there's things in your life, and Sister Sue's got two handfuls to try, I understand. But there's times in your life that it seems like that troubles come in basket loads or bucket loads, and it seems like there are more troubles than there are anything else. But I hope by the time we leave here this afternoon that you and I and all of us can understand that God is not a troublemaker in the context of being a troublemaker. Now, I do know that there's times that God removes His Spirit and the enemy comes in and people are troubled. I do understand that. Look at Job, and you can look at a whole lot of that situation there, and evil spirit came and attacked Saul. There's others throughout the Scripture when God moves His hand back, if you will, it allows the enemy to come in and begin to do destructive things in lives. But I'm so thankful tonight that when God moves in, we can take all of our troubles and give them to Him. Amen. So again, I don't know how anybody come into this building. I don't know what you've been dealing with. I know that all of us deal with things from time to time. And somehow tonight, I want to just minister on the subject, when your troubles turn around. When your troubles turn around. John chapter number 5, we see this. And the Bible says in verse number 1, good to see Brother Marlowe come in back there. I think that's him. I can see him pretty good out of my left eye. Can't see him too good out of my right eye. See, so good to have you, Harold. Love you, brother. Verse number 1. "And this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay great multitudes of impotent folk," that means without power, without strength, "impotent folk of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Now I know that that is a very popular statement and a very prominent question that Jesus asked throughout the Scripture. We see Jesus again asking this question to a variety of different individuals. that he encountered in his evangelism campaign as he preached the word unto them. But somehow in my mind and somehow in my heart, when I studied this over the weekend getting ready for Sunday night, and I felt God touch me again, I told you to ask them, "Wilt thou be made whole?" So it's more than a cliche. It's more than just something that the preacher came up with to come in here tonight to look at a few people in the congregation. I believe with everything within me that there is a direct line to glory in this question tonight over your life. I believe with everything within me that God Himself sent me by on this Wednesday night, or whether it would have been Sunday night, but God again told me to preach this message tonight. And I believe the Holy Ghost is wanting me to ask this church, "Will thou be made whole?" Those of you that may look at your life and you may be looking at circumstances and situations, it would not please me any more than if a miracle of God would take place in this room tonight, and you were able to go and testify of the healing power of Jesus Christ over your life. I wonder if anybody in the room has ever really had what you would consider a bona fide miracle. Now, different people would say to me, and we might need to talk about these things. Different people would say, "Well, I've been healed and I went to the doctor and I got better." Well, I shout hallelujah for that, because God's given doctors the wisdom and the knowledge to know how to do that. But you look with me at the New Testament, and this is the thing that sometimes makes me and Brother West scratch our head, or maybe Brother Bob, when you're preaching a message about healing, and yet you see this in the Scripture. You see where that blind men are healed. You see this where lame men are walking. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee," that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, and his ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up, and immediately he went into the temple, and he was magnifying God and praising God, and withered hands and blinded eyes and shadows over Peter's shadow, and Paul's prayer cloth, and we see all these things in the Scripture. But yet I look in my own eyes sometimes and I think to myself, where are the healings and where are the miracles? And there are those that will tell you that all of this stuff was nothing more than to promote the church or to promote the gospel in the early ages when the gospels was written and when Jesus was here. And I would only say, honey, if they needed a confirmation of the Spirit of God when Jesus walked the earth and when Jesus left the disciples on the earth and said, "Greater things than these you shall do, because I go to my Father," if there's ever been a day and a time and an hour that we need a miracle of God and we need to see a flow of God and a manifestation of God over our lives. My friend, it is the year and the day that we're living in. Again, the Holy Ghost said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I just want to say, I don't know how you came in here. I have no clue how you came in here. But if there's an infirmity, if there's a problem, if there's a situation, I believe God is able, and I believe that God is sweeping through this little old church here in Thomasville, North Carolina. And I believe that God is getting ready to deposit to make a deposit of healing over your life. I wish somebody would raise their hands and just say, "God, I receive it. I receive my healing tonight. I receive everything you have for me, and I receive it in the name of Jesus tonight." I believe that. If I didn't believe it, I would quit preaching right now, pack up my Bible, go to the house, get me a bowl of ice cream, and go to bed. But I believe that God came by in this service tonight to tell somebody that I have orchestrated this service. I designed it Sunday night just so preacher would be preaching tonight, pastor would be preaching this tonight, because I believe that God is saying that to me, because God says there's a miracle here for somebody tonight, and I believe that with everything within me. If I was going to go and study miracles, which I've not did that for this message, But there's instantaneous miracles. Go and wash in the pool. Jesus took the clay and he took it and he put it in his eyes, the spittle, and he put it in his eyes. And he told him to go and wash. Jesus could have healed his eyes right there on the spot. But as he walked it out in obedience, and I feel the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. As he walked it out in obedience, God brought a healing in his body. Sometimes it takes time, friend. But we cannot discredit the miracles. We cannot discredit the power of God just because it's taken a little bit of time. Now again, I didn't study this part for this message, but I look at poor old Job. We think about poor old Job. It took Job a long time to get better. It took Job a long time to get to where God would bless him. I laid a water down somewhere, and I don't even know Keith. He can bring me one. He's back there. But we look here in the Scripture. We look here in the Scripture at this. When he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" It's okay. "Wilt thou be made whole?" And in this man, when you begin to look at the condition of the man, what a pitiful sight. When I studied this last weekend, getting ready for Sunday, I look at this scripture and commentary says several things about this scripture. And it gives all kinds of reasons why the people were made whole that was able to get into these pools. First of all, it's near the sheep gate. It's near the sheep gate because it's where the sheep were washed. They were cleansed. They were washed. And then as the sheep moved through the sheep gate, they were used in worship of that time as sacrificial sheep at that day. And it's these pools where the sheep come through near the sheep gate. Others use the description of what was taking place there as magnesium and calcium and all these other high-powered minerals that was like a hot spring. And people would get over into that spring of water, if you will. And as they did, thank you, Brother Percy. And as they did that, it would be like a healing agent on their bones and on their joints and in their bodies, if you will. Anybody ever been to Hot Springs, Arkansas? Anybody ever been to Hot Springs, North Carolina? I've been to Hot Springs and Hot Springs, Arkansas. Been in both places in my days. But there's actually hot springs that you can climb over into, just like a sauna, just like one of those things that people have on their porches, and they can climb over in it and take a bubble bath in hot water, whatever it's called. Yeah, those hot tub things. And they said in the commentary how that these are the things that took place. And then that commentary said that they would only associate these events with those type of things that was going on there. Now, I don't know who wrote all that mess. It could be true. I don't know as far as the calcium and the magnesium and all that come bubbling up and the pressure would build up like Old Faithful and then all of a sudden it'd be bubbling up. But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that heaven had a part in the healing. And if you and I are going to be healed in any capacity, I mean, they got all kinds of self-help things today and motivational helps. I believe in all that stuff to a degree. You need to talk positive over your life. You need to be positive. You need the motivation. You need all the self-help you can get. But in all of that, you still need God. God's got to be a part of the process. And this is what I tell people all the time. God intended for you to be saved, or he would not have designed it the way that he designed it, because he sent his son Jesus Christ to bear the cross at Calvary, God designed the plan. People, they try to get saved all kinds of other ways. And again, they go to all kinds of classes and they do all kinds of exercises and they go to all kinds of this step and that step and every kind of step. I'm not trying to discredit those things. But I know from my experience that what I need is an old-fashioned dose of the Holy Ghost and the power of God over my life in order for me to get better. And I know there's hundreds of other things that people do and talk about and all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. At the end of the day, it's all going to fall down flat and almost totally useless unless people have the power of God in their life. And the Bible said that when this took place, they looked around those porches, five different columbariums, five different porches, and up and under those porches, it must have been one of the most pitiful sights you'd ever seen in all of your life. There was people there that no doubt had been dropped off. No doubt had crawled, no doubt had been taken there and just left for whatever would happen. Then the Bible said there, when you begin to look at this, you can see that in the Scripture that these particular people were impotent, without power, without strength. Again, I don't know, I have to use my imagination, but you can only see somebody laying there at this pool that had absolutely no strength. In other words, I would think about all their strength had waned away from them. When I think about this, again, they'd done everything that they possibly could do, just like the woman that with the issue of blood, and yet she had grew worse. Listen, I am 100% for putting my best foot forward. I'm not lazy. I don't like to be lazy. Laziness is not good. The Bible says we got to be fervent in spirit. We cannot be slothful in doing the business of God. I don't know about you, but when I think about this, I see somebody that's literally tried, not being lazy, but literally tried everything that they knew to do. They had went the extra mile. They had read every self-help book that was available. They had talked to every psychiatrist. They had talked to every physician. They had talked to every doctor. But my friend, even in all of that, the condition that they were in, you look at this, and he says in the Scripture, not only were they impotent without strength, and I've got to be obedient to God when I read this and when I process this. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like you have tried everything that you know to do, and yet God, you feel like in your own heart that you cannot go any further. You feel like your strength is almost gone. And then he says blind folk. I think about physical blindness. Physical blindness of somebody that's there, that's physically blind. But yet I think about myself as I read this, how many people today are physically, not just physically blind, but they're spiritually blind. I wondered how many people today need a touch of God to touch them. And the Bible said that men groped in the darkness, and the Bible describes them as loving darkness rather than light. So many people that we know are walking in darkness tonight. And again, I have to preach it the way I feel it. I pray that God would come through just like he did the Apostle Paul. Paul was blinded for a while and he had to go see Ananias. And then when he went and he seen and he obeyed, that the scales fell from his eyes. And I'm thinking, how many people today that you know are spiritually blind, and their scales that's on their eyes and their spiritual eyes needs to be removed away. And then you look at this halt. hobbling around on a leg and hobbling around on a foot, hobbling around on a hip, something that would not work that at one time worked, and something that they used to be able to get around on. I'm just simply saying this, the things you've tried in the past, they're not going to work for you no more. The things you've leaned on in the past, it's not going to work for you no more. And I'm saying, you're saying, preacher, you know all of us in this room tonight, we're serving God and we're saints of God, and we're all senior adults, and we've been serving God for years, and you're not even talking to us tonight. I don't know that, and you don't know that, but I just come in long enough to tell somebody the things that you've tried in the past to get to where you know that God is trying to take you, you need to get over it and get over it quick, because you tried it and failed every time, but God is saying, this time, if you'll let me touch you as I touched Jacob in the hollow of his side, that again, I'm going to heal you and I'm going to bring restoration to your life. Halt. Blind. Impotent. And withered. Withered. It used to be a source of nourishment. It used to be a source of strength. It used to be something that was reliable. One time I was walking in the woods with my dad. I don't remember if we were rabbit hunting or what. I don't remember. I know he and I was together. Thirsty in the woods. Didn't have canteens back in the day, or those big jugs we carry around now. I was thirsty, and my dad, I guess he's just smart. He went up in the woods and he found a little old spring head. Some of you may not know what that is. Found a little old place where the water was coming up out of the ground. And he scratched it out, cleaned the leaves out of it, dug it down in there and got the leaves out of it. Gave it 2 or 3 minutes, whatever it was. Stuck my face down in that spring head. Got me a big old drink of water. His daddy said, you can drink that right there. It's good water, pure water, fresh water, coming right out of the earth. So many times in our spiritual lives, Brother Steve, things dry up, withered up. And I'm going to say what I feel in my heart, because Thomasville, you know I love you. You know I love you with all my heart. But there might be something that God's getting ready to do in our life that we've never seen before. There might be a fountain, Brother West, that God's getting ready to open up, because we have exhausted, let me use that word, exhausted everything we know, and we've used up everything we're accustomed to, and if we don't have a fresh move of God, we're in trouble. You know I'm a revivalist. I've got to have revival. There's something that it's inbred within me. Brother Marlowe's a revivalist. It pushes me when I preach for revival. And I'm just saying this, that God says again to my heart, to you tonight, that God is getting ready to do something in this church. I believe that with everything within me. I believe it. And it may not always look like what we have been accustomed to. Amen. It may not always be what we're familiar with. It might be that God is getting ready to do a brand new work in our life. Some of you may not even be ready for that, but there are others that are ready, and there are others that are saying, just like Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me, here I am. I'm one of those guys in line tonight. I'm jumping up and down. I'm swinging my hands in the face of God, and I'm saying, God, pick me, pick me. I'm yours, God. Pick me. Pick me to be on your team, God. You've heard my stories about when I was a kid and tried to play ball and tried to play sports. I was never picked, and I was always the last one they looked at to even decide about as far as a sports team. And that's why I don't care a thing in the world about it. I've never watched a football game. Well, a football game maybe one or two times. I've never watched a basketball game through. Never. Matter of fact, I've never watched a quarter of a basketball game. I don't know nothing about it. They take a basketball and throw it that way and throw it that way, and they try to get it in that little ring up there. That's all I know. I've never watched a baseball game all the way through, and as much as I like baseball, because I played a little bit, I did do that. A lot of times we feel like that we've been left out, and we're saying, God, where are you at? I'm standing in front of God tonight, folks, in my heart and in my life. And I'm saying, God, here I am. Pick me. I want to move with your spirit. I want to move with God. I don't know how many people feel the way I feel tonight, but that's what I'm doing, Letha. I'm standing in God's presence, and I'm saying, here I am. Hello. I'm next in line. Pick me, God. I wonder just in my own heart and in my own mind how many people really do want to move with God. I really believe that with everything within me. I think about this man. The Bible said he had been there 38 years. That's a long time. If my calculations are correct, and don't ever trust my calculations, I think that's over 13,000 days. That man, 38 years, Marty, 38 years, and he'd been in that condition all these years. All these years. Hey, I believe that God can turn your troubles around. I believe that God can take what you're dealing with tonight. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I believe that God delayed the message Sunday night to get me to this point tonight. And I believe that God can take what you're dealing with tonight and God can turn it around. And I got to be obedient to God. Michelle, you've been on my heart. And I believe when I started preaching this message, because a lot of people don't know what you deal with on kidney dialysis and the stuff that you struggle with. I believe tonight God can touch you. I believe that. I'm not telling you not to go back to your doctor, but I believe that God can heal you. I believe that. How many of you people believe that? I believe that. There was a time in my life I worked at Coca-Cola years ago. I hurt my back. I hurt my back so bad that I walked crooked. I walked like this. I literally walked like this, and I'd done my job like this. With my hip protruded, I walked like that. When I did it, I fell back in the bay of the truck, called, and they come and got me, took me to a doctor, and popped me up on some high-powered whatever. I don't remember riding home, put me in bed. I was in bed 3 or 4 days. I don't know. But I went on back to work, Brother Slate, because I knew I had to work. But it was in a prayer meeting. It was in a prayer meeting, Brother Steve. John Nations, Millard Nations, Mike Nations, Earl Nations. That was the Nations family. Mike's still the pastor at the Clyde Church of God to this day. Millard's gone on to glory. John lives in another place. And there's a few more there. Clyde Church of God is so old. Built in 21. It had logs underneath the floor joists and pine slat boards for the flooring. Probably still does. Still there. I remember going in the back part of the church and looking up in there and seeing all that. Brother Marlowe, we got to have a church that night. We got to shouting and praising God, and the floor was literally moving. I thought, we're going to end up in the basement here shortly, you know. But the power of God would show up so strong on those Sunday night services. And that night, I went to Millard, and I was about right here at the pulpit, about right in this area. And I said, I want you to pray for my back. Millard did not have a hot washcloth in his pocket. And Brother West, it was just like you laid a hot washcloth right here on my back. And my back straightened up. And to this day, however many, 25, 30 years later, 30 years, I've never had no trouble out of that side of my back. Never. Not again. Not another time. A chiropractor messed it up one time, but me and him quickly parted company. But never. God laid that hot washcloth right on my back. And my back straightened up. That don't mean my back don't hurt from time to time, but it's never hurt there. I've never had that same thing happen to me again. And I'm just saying that God brought me my miracle that night and healed my back. And friend, I've done a whole lot of toting in the last 30 years or however many years it's been from that time. And there's never been a knife on my back. Never been nothing on my back. And I'm just simply saying God did it. And God's no respecter of persons. I have trouble with my knees. I wish God would do that to my knees. I pray God will do that to my knees even now. But it's not been my back. Somebody says, well, if he can do it to your back, he can do it to your knees. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm in line. Do it. Do it. I'm ready. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. So where do you get to in this message? In this, we see of how that the angel of God would come down and trouble the water. Trouble the water. And then the Bible describes this as this water was being troubled, that the first person that would step into the water. And I don't know why it's this way. I have no idea. I didn't write this and I wasn't there. But it said the first person that was in. And I know there's a deeper thought into that. I know there is. But he stepped in. And as he stepped in, or they stepped in, not him, but it says, and it says when they first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. If I was really going to preach this the way I thought about it, I would get ready to tell somebody to step in. Now, I do know that preachers years ago, and let me meddle a little bit tonight if you don't mind. I know preachers years ago would give altar services and they'd almost make you claw the back of the pew before clutch the back of the pew because they had you in hell in a minute and you didn't get out of hell till you got to the altar. Hello, somebody? Anybody ever remember that? I've been there myself a few times. I mean, they'd preach hell hot, heaven sweet, and eternity long. Seems like we've heard that before. Haven't we, Dina? Remember Sybil? Sybil would always tell me, son, you go in there and you tell them the truth. They all remember Sybil. Sybil would look at me and she said, you preach hell hot and you preach heaven sweet and you preach eternity long. I said, I will, Sybil. You keep praying for me. They're long gone to glory now, waiting on us. First to get in. First to get in, preachers would say, don't delay. Don't delay. Make ready your heart. Make ready today. Don't delay. Don't put it off another day. This man, if you look at this in verse 5, I think it is, when this had the 38 years, go to the next verse. And he says this, Jesus asking the question, how long have you been here, 38 years, will you be made whole? Look in verse 7. And the impotent man, without strength, without power, answered him in his condition. And he said, sir, I don't have anybody to help me get into the water. Now, I thought about that when I studied this. It's easy for you and I to say, and preachers to say, well, you just need to get right with God. You just need to get your act together. You just need to quit that smoking and quit it, and you need to get over it, and you need to do it today. It's true. It's all that's true. You need to quit doing the drugs. You need to quit popping the pills. You need to quit drinking the alcohol. You need to quit looking at the porn. You need to quit doing this. You need to quit doing that. And all that's true. And sometimes people don't know how to get free. They don't know how to help themselves. This man had been there for 38 years. And I'm sure that he had pondered a whole lot of stuff in 38 years and he had seen a whole lot of people get in front of him and wondered when was his turn going to happen? How is all this going to work out? Anybody besides a pastor ever ask yourself, how's all this going to work out? Boy, I've done that a lot. How's all this going to work out? God. It's got to be God. But on the other side of that, and I'm not trying to be narcissistic or trying to even talk about that, because it's so much easier always to blame somebody else for your condition than for you to get up and do something for yourself. I've done and told you the story of my daddy. I seen my dad yesterday pray for him. The day my daddy looked at me and said, what he said to me changed my life. I was in my 20s. I laid out of work. I had postpartum blues. I didn't know what was wrong with my nerves. I was falling apart. Aaron was just born, and daddy said, ain't you got a wife and a baby up the road? I said, yes, sir, I do. Who's going to take care of them? I said, well, I guess I am. And he said, well, I suggest you get your blankety blank, 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 blank to work. And it hit me. If you'd have slapped me upside the head with a frying pan, it wouldn't have knocked no more sense into me than that knocked sense into me that day. And my whole life shifted because my daddy spoke the truth to me and told me the truth. And I hope my mama's watching. Told me the truth. Sometimes I feel like I'm too rough on people. Sometimes I'm not rough enough. But if you keep making excuses for the condition you're in, you'll never change. And I guess I make people mad at me sometimes, but sometimes people'd rather have an excuse than a healing. They'd rather stay like they are than to get healed because they know healing's going to cost them something. It's not easy, but it's worth it. I got up that day when my daddy sent me back to work the next day. Guess what? They didn't fire me. Hallelujah. I've never been fired from a job. I wish Roger would fire me a few times. Him and Richard. But you got to quit making excuses. And he says, I have no man when the water is troubled. And again, this is a two-sided thing. It's two-sided. So some people don't know how to help themselves, and others wouldn't help themselves if they knew how to do it. So it's two-sided. With this man's condition, though, he had been laying there for 38 years. He was paralyzed. Couldn't move. Couldn't do anything. Stuck. But I'm glad that his troubles was getting ready to turn around. It took Jesus to turn his troubles around. I don't know what time I'm supposed to quit on Wednesday night. I wasn't signed in on that when I was hired. I don't know. Thank you, Brenda. I'll take Brenda's answer. Just whenever whenever you want to. I'm not going to keep you much longer. But I have no man. God is still willing to heal. He's ready to heal. He's ready to give a miracle. And God's ready to turn your troubles around. And again, everything may not be a magic trick. Everything may not zap and turn around instantaneously, even though I believe in that. But I believe if you seek God and you be consistent and you be faithful to God and you give God and God what God wants to do over your life, as you learn the lessons in life that you need to learn over time, it takes sometimes time for you to be healed. It took me time to learn how to forgive people because I didn't want to forgive people. I wanted to be mean. I wanted to be a mean preacher. I was trained to be a mean preacher by certain people. I was trained to always be suspicious of sheep. I was trained to never believe anybody at face value. I had this man that was sowing into my life. And I was naive enough to believe him for a season. And I began to see what he was saying to me. And I began to see the trouble that was following him and the trouble he always got himself into. And I thought, I'm not going to follow this guy. I'm not going to be like that. I am not that way. I am not that way at all. And I yielded my life to a mentor, and that mentor was Ronald Dodson. Ronald Dodson's about 76 or 77 year old now. Still pastoring. It's in his blood. He's way down in the Tennessee line, Tennalina Church of God. Little old mountain church down there. And Brother Dodson took the time to sow into my life. As people sow into your life, healing can take place. I got to hurry. I see people in the hallway. They must be done. I'm not done. They must be finished. They must not have had as much to say tonight as I did. But in this, it says he'd been there for 13,000 plus days. Wilt thou me? I have no man. And then in this, we see where Jesus saith, and this is verse number eight. But I got to go back to verse number seven and finish that latter part, because he says, I have no man when water is troubled to put me in the pool. And while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Oh, if I had the time. If I had the time, I would like to just take that and look at that a little bit, because in my mind, so many people see other people blessed and see other people see the miracles that's happening in their life and see what seemingly looks like that God is doing a tremendous work in their life, and it seems like their turn had not come yet. And then maybe you're waiting and thinking to yourself, when's it my turn? I see others blessed, but God, do you not love me the way you love others? As you look at this, he says, when I am getting ready, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another one gets in front of me and they get their blessing. But I walk home empty again. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever felt that way. But I'm sure everybody in this room has felt that way at some time. When you compare yourself to what's going on in somebody else's life, you've been just as faithful as they've been. You've been just as consistent. And it's like, God, you're hearing their prayer, but you're not hearing my prayer. Maybe that's what was going on. And as he's preparing himself for a miracle, another person gets in front of him. And Brenda, it feels unfair. It feels like you've been cheated. It feels like that God loves Dixie more than he loves me. And I look at Dixie and I think, well, Dixie, you're just getting all the blessings. And then the devil jumps up on my shoulder and says, well, God loves Dixie more than he loves you. And then I get jealous. And then I start getting odd feelings. I don't. I start getting these odd feelings towards her because I see her life being blessed. And then I wonder why God ain't doing nothing in my life. Are you ready for this? God says he's no respecter of persons. It rains on the just and the unjust. And to be honest with you, I don't know the answer to that. But it seems that way right now, don't it, Brother Steve? You look and you see others. This next verse or two, and we're done. Here again, he says, Jesus saith unto him, rise up, take up thy bed and walk, go with me. And then he said, and immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and he walked, and it was the same day was the Sabbath. 38 years. And God turned his troubles around. Now, I know that there are those that talked about the latter part of this, because he asked him about being made whole over his sin. He asked him about that as well. You can see that in verse number 14. But the Bible says in verse 9, and he says, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and he walked. Could you imagine? I got to quit. But could you imagine in your mind's eye of all that had happened up to the point that I'm leaving you tonight, that the Bible said there, immediately the man was made whole. I don't have anybody that can play or give music tonight, I don't think. But it says, immediately the man was made whole. This is what I feel. It's just the kids. They're in that room right there tonight. They're okay. They had to move from the gym into that room tonight. They're okay. But here's what I thought about. And immediately the man was made whole. And I lost my thought on that one. And he took up his bed. and walked. Here's where I'm going to stop, because there's a little bit more that I'd like to get to, but I won't get to it right now. The Lord might let me preach this again one day. When Jesus passed by, you know the story of Jesus being there. Jesus spoke the word to him. He obeyed what Jesus told him to do. God brought strength to him immediately. Wouldn't you like to be able to do something spiritually? I'm talking in spiritual realms tonight. That you've never done before. Wouldn't you like to have your joy back? Wouldn't you like to have your peace back? Wouldn't you like to have a fresh anointing? Wouldn't you like to have a fresh touch of God like you haven't experienced in a long, 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 long time? I know some people's content. Some people's just right here. They're fine right here. I'm not. Every day I want to dig. Every day is a new adventure with me, with God. Come on, somebody. God's teaching me. Immediately, he received the man, and he was made whole. That's a good word. Don't have time to talk about it. And then he took up his bed. I've heard preachers say, Brother West, a man came that morning with his back on his bed. But he left there that afternoon with his bed on his back. Could you imagine all the people of the city seeing him? Is that not him? I mean, I can just see that. What happened to him? Oh, Jesus is in the town. Look, he had an encounter with Jesus. That's those people that seem to be impossible. I'm still praying for kids. I'm still praying for grandkids. I'm still praying that somehow God will get a hold of their heart and show them the reality of who he is. Then the Bible says, and he walked. And that's where I'm going to leave it tonight. Because he'd done something that he had never done before. What would that be in your life? If God began to speak to our hearts as a church and me as a pastor, you've never done that before, Pastor Green. And Thomasville's never experienced that before, Pastor Green. And I know revival is dangerous. I know that. Because you get the cereal gang sometimes. What is that? The flakes, the fruits, and the nuts. That's the cereal gang. Because everybody's got a word and everybody this, and sometimes you have to be careful, things get out of order. And I know that. I've been there and I've done it and I've seen it. But I ain't even worried about that. I ain't worried about that. You know my ideal on that. But he done something he'd never done before. When your troubles turn around. What is it that you want God to do in your life as you stand with me tonight? I wish I had another hour. I'd preach another hour and let Brother Marlowe preach an hour. What do you want to do? What is God speaking to you? What is God saying to your heart? What kind of spiritual adventure do you think that God's got us, getting us ready for? What if God does send us 25 new families or 30 new families? Do you think we could handle it? Or are they going to be like us? They're going to look like us? They're going to act like us? They're going to, you know, they're going to do this or they're going to do that? You know, Jesus discipled his disciples. They were fishermen when he found them in the fisher's boat. They were not disciples at that time. Which by that I'm saying it took a little bit of time to even work on Peter and the rest of them. And Peter still was a denier and cussing and all that. It took God a little bit of time to work it out with Peter. Hello? We're not looking for perfectionism. We're looking for people. Somebody says, well, you got to catch a fish before you can clean it. It ain't your job to clean nothing. It ain't my job to clean nothing. If the Holy Ghost ain't going to be able to clean it, what good? God's got to do it. I used to hear that growing up, and my goodness gracious. I'd walk so straight of a line, and I was mean to my kids, and I was mean to my wife. I was hateful to everybody I was hateful to because I wanted this this sinless perfectionism that, and I'm still against sin, 100%. But Brother Wes, I thought I could mandate that. And I was a legalist, and I was very hard on my wife, very hard. And I was more hard on my children because I was the king lion of my house. And you live here, and I'd say a few choice words, and you'll do it the way I tell you to do it, when I say to do it, as I want you to do it. That was the dictator that I was back then. And I'd snatch you up in a heartbeat. My kids, I was mean to them, mean to my kids. That's why a lot of people's kids are not maybe so familiar with us now. Because we had all those things and very little love of God in us. How'd you get off on that tonight? I don't know. Maybe somebody's kids need to be healed. Maybe you're the agent that God's going to use to go talk to your kids. Maybe that's why I continue to try to treat my kids different now than I ever treated them. They're grown now. Somebody said, well, you sowed the good seed in their heart. But yes, Sister Betty, I feel about that tall because I feel like I missed the window when they were little. Because I was going to be the big man. And I was going to make them. And I was going to. So whoever comes to this church, we've got to let God work it out in their life. Are y'all okay? I told you I could preach another hour and then let Brother Marlowe preach an hour. I'm good. He gets done, we'll let Brother West preach an hour. Have all night prayer. Have all night preaching. Let God work it out. And one last thing and I'm done. I know some of you wish I'd get done and go eat some ice cream. I'm going. I'm headed. I'm trying. Two things. One, quit being so hard on yourself. Did you hear me? Learn to relax a little bit. Just chill. Chill out. Just let God do it. You follow Him. If you could do it, you wouldn't need God. Number two is, when people come to the church, let's just love them. Love them where they're at. Be the Christians that we need to be and watch and see what God wants to do. Amen. Do you love the preacher? Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, God, and I bore my heart, hallelujah, to your name. Lord, I believe with everything within me, this is what you laid in my heart for this service. And I pray, God, that everything that I have said, God, be exactly as you want it to be said. And God, that you too would take the word of God and season it in my heart. Let us be your hands and let us be your feet. Lord, there's miracles in the house. There's miracles here even now. That God, that you can touch people's lives and you can turn their lives around. And God, you can do so much in people's lives when we yield ourselves to you and we can say, God, here we are. Now, right before we leave, I want you to think about something. Are you available to God? Have you made yourself available to God? Jesus asked that man, wilt thou be made whole? And that's the question. Will you let God do a work in your life? Will you let God do a miracle in your life? This is what I feel like the Holy Ghost is saying. Walk out of here tonight in your confession. Do everything that you know to do within your power and leave the rest up to God. And see what God will do for you. And Father, we love you. And we commit this service into your hands. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.